This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
This morning, it's a great privilege for me to take some time to just, the first place to welcome dear friends of mine, Anton and Christelle, as you guys know, that because I'm a little bit busier than what I was previously, before we have our new responsibilities, I'm not always able to be here the way that I want to be. And the Lord has many years ago joined our hearts together. Anton and myself, we went on a mission trip in 1995 to Malawi, and there we got to know each other. And we shared dreams around Lake Malawi of what we believe God was going to do in our lives and through our lives. And it's been amazing to see how God has continued to grow them and their family. Back then, it was only Anton and myself, and now it's Anton and Christelle and Michaela and Michael and Lisha and Joshi and Caleb. And so they've multiplied, and it's wonderful to have them, and they're gonna help us out here in Samosa West and going to help us out in Mzamu and Strand, and I'm just going to be there for Nikki and myself and for you guys. And so I want to ask you, Anton and Christelle, if you guys can come to the front, and I just want to speak a blessing over you and over your time here. And you guys are going to get very fit, all right, this morning. So just extend your hands again. If the one shoulder grows weak, you can alternate it, all right? You don't have to keep the one up there all the time. And it's just a sign of blessing and a sign of from our part of saying we receive them. As al julle kinders hierso. Kom, Michael, kom julle ook as kids. Dis die Meiberg gesin. Ons is baie dankbaar dat julle gekom het. They're in Stellenbosch still, right? And so they haven't moved from Stellenbosch. They're going to continue. The kids are there in school, but pastorally they're going to add their weight to us here, and they're going to help us here. And I'm tremendously thankful also for the fact you guys have agreed to also just yoke together with us. Dankie dat julle nie net kollegas is, maar dat julle vriende ook is. En ek sien uit om lekker saam met julle te werk. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for Anton and Christelle, God, and the kids. Thank you for what you've placed in their hearts, Lord. And thank you that you've blessed us as Shofar Samosa West, Lord, with incredible people, God, with shepherds, Lord, with people whose hearts are for you and for your kingdom, and whose hearts are, Lord God, for the lost, Lord. And so we welcome and we receive the gift, Father, of the evangelist, Lord God. We welcome and receive the anointing that's upon their lives, Lord God, to reach the lost and the broken for you, Lord. And we thank you for how, Lord God, they will unearth and they will unlock many treasures in the Helderberg Basin, Father God, through the anointing upon their lives, God. Thank you, Lord God, for their faithfulness to you. Thank you that they have consistently for so many years, Lord God, as part of the apostolic team, and they've just been serving you faithfully, Lord, and they've laid their lives down for you and for your kingdom. And I honor you and I thank you for that, Lord. And thank you that they are good and perfect gifts, Lord, that you've added to us, God, and we're excited about the future. We're excited about doing life together. We're excited, God, about how you provide in all of our needs. So thank you that you love this congregation, Lord. And thank you, Lord God, that you provide for this congregation. Lord God, in terms of finances and resources, but more than anything else, God, in terms of living stones that you have given to us, Father. And so I thank you, not just for Anton and Christelle, Father, but I thank you for every other volunteer. I thank you, Lord God, for every other person, Lord God, in this room whose hearts have been bonded together with ours, Lord, and together with what you are doing in this town, Lord. And we are excited, not because we are wonderful, God, but because you are an awesome God, and because you have not stopped working, and you will finish this work that you have started in our midst, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Anton and Christelle to stay here just to help me to. Julle kan maar gaan sit ook, kids. Baie dankie. As we welcome Anton and Christelle, I want to encourage you next week, Sunday, we're going to have a Thanksgiving service. Many of you guys know that Pastor Theo and Lynette, that the Lord has led their journey a little bit differently for the next few months. And Pastor Theo is branching out into pursuing the dreams the Lord has placed in his heart, and we're excited about that. But next week, Sunday, we're going to spend some time in the services thanking the Lord for what he's done through their lives. So please join us afterwards next week, Sunday. Don't rush off. Stay with us. We're going to just spend some time gathering together and having a good time. Okay. And this morning also, it's a bittersweet moment for us because from this congregation, we want to send Pastor Hercules and his beautiful wife Melanie and their children. And so, kids, if you can come to the front as well. Ecclesiastes says it's a time to come and there's a time to go. Anton and them are coming. Hercules, Melanie and them are going. They're not going because they're coming, okay? The Lord, many years ago, has laid it in Hercules' heart a dream concerning the UK, and actually many words that the Lord has placed in his heart when he, as a student, still went to do some holiday work there. I think he worked for the engagement ring as well over in, in the UK. And it's just been amazing for myself these last few years, ever since I started working at the church about 10 years or so ago. Hercules was there, and just a constant friend, a constant leader, a faithful leader, someone that has a calling of obedience upon his life that has inspired Nikki and myself. I know very often when we were in valleys of decision, Nikki and myself, and where to decide, what are we going to do, Hercules would often be one of the first people I would phone and just say, Hercules, I don't know whether I can do this. I don't know what to do. Please pray with me. And he would always have a word of wisdom in his heart and a practical word in his heart. And so they are leaving in 2 weeks' time, less than 2 weeks' time. Sak en pak gaan hulle London toe met alles wat binne hulle is. En ons op hulle net bid vanoggend as a congregation. They've been with us for a year and a half, 2 years. They've been with us in this congregation. And it's so important for us to understand the calling God has given us as well as a people, to support and to nourish and to just pray for those the Lord sends out from amongst us. Not all of us can go, but all of us can pray. Amen. And all of us can support. And so I would like us to stand, and we're going to pray for Hercules and for Melanie. We've got the wonderful privilege of supporting Derkian and Renee in Utrecht from this congregation. Now, many of you guys have gone to visit them, and I want to encourage you, please continue to pray for them and go and visit them as well. From this congregation, we've sent Kurt in Machli and then Peter Maritzburg. We continue to pray for them as well. And from this congregation, we have the privilege of sending the Oppermans in. And so we're going to, Hercules, we love you. We've had this last week, we've cried many tears. And so I think we're almost empty in crying. But as soon as I think I'm empty, then I discover, no, there's more. But I'm rather going to pray before I say something silly and start crying again. Father, thank you so much, God, for our friends. And Lord, thank you that you have blessed us with them, Father. Thank you, Lord God, for the tremendous leaders that they are, Father, both Melanie and Hercules, Lord. And how, Lord God, they've just invested into so many people's lives, Lord. Lord, people that very often are overlooked, people very often they don't have the spotlight on them, that they have the gifting upon their lives to see greatness in people. Not just to see it, Lord, but to speak it and to believe it and to nurture and to disciple and to come alongside and to encourage. And we thank you for them, Father. We thank you, God, that as they go to the UK to establish your work there, it's not their own work. It's not Shofar's work. They're not going to extend Shofar's territory, God. They are going in obedience to you to extend your kingdom. And so, God, we want to send them. We commission them, Father, and we release them, God, into your hands, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And even as we anoint them, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we can do so knowing, Lord God, that you've already gone ahead of them, Father. So thank you for your anointing upon their lives, Lord, upon Hercules, Lord, and upon Melanie, Father, as a couple, Lord God, and even upon the kids, Lord, we pray your protection over them, Lord God, over Zoe, Father God, and over Lana, Lord, and over Anamat, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you that we can consecrate them unto you and plead your blood over them and declare that the evil one has nothing upon them. Lord, that you surround them, Lord God, with your favor as with a shield. God, that your angels hover over them and that you've gone ahead of them to prepare for them a home, a spiritual home, a physical home, Lord God. And great will be their reward as they walk in obedience to you, God, in Jesus' name.
Father, we pray that your anointing will be upon them in a double portion. And Lord, I pray that indeed the word that Hercules has received, that which you've called him to start many years ago, that as you send him now to complete it, and indeed the work will be completed, that which you send them for. And Lord, I want to pray also for Melanie, Lord, that she will find great joy in that city. that she will experience your joy, your presence, and find joy in the people, Lord, and she'll make many friends, and the children will make many friends, Lord, just not just simple friendships, but friendships that will last, and relationships that will last, and as Jesus was a friend of sinners, Lord, and friend of everybody, I pray, Lord, that as a family and as a couple, they will have many friends, Christian and non-Christian, that whose lives they can change and impact, and people to love, and people to hold close to their hearts.
Lord, we thank you that you are the shield, Lord, that you are the protection, Lord, that you are the peace, Lord, that you are the joy, Lord. And thank you, Father, that just as Abraham had to leave everything behind and go where you called him to, Lord, and so much has changed since that, Lord, thank you that since they are leaving everything behind and going where you are calling them, Lord, that so much will change, Lord. Such a great impact for your kingdom, Lord. And thank you, Father, that it will be a season of laughter and a season filled with just wonderful times, Lord. Even in the midst of challenges, Lord, it will be wonderful, memorable times. And thank you, God, that these five people will grow even closer, Lord, and will have even a stronger bond with each other. And thank you, God, that that you are blessing the church in Wimbledon with the gift of the Oppermans, Lord. And thank you, Father, that you will give them wisdom for every situation, for everything that they have to deal with, Lord. And thank you, Father, that your anointing is on them to do what they have to do, Lord. And thank you, God, when they have to greet their family and their friends and they get on that plane, God, that you will be with them. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Just thank the Lord for them. Hallelujah. Bless you guys. We love you. We're looking forward to hearing all the wonderful things God is going to do through your life. Die diens is lekker vol vanoggend. Dit is lekker om te sien. En ek dink hier is baie van ons wat as ons omkyk, ons sal sien hier mense is wat ons nie ken nie. So wil jy nie gou net gaan opstaan nie. Vat gou 'n minuut of twee staan gou op, gaan na iemand toe wat jy nie ken nie, sê goeiemôre. Ek is Heinrich, ek is die pastoor hierso vir die van julle wat my nie ken nie. Maar gaan gou daarin. Groet iemand, sê hallo. Bless hulle met jou wonderlike glimlag. Okay. Lovely to hear the buzz in church, and it's fantastic to see people excited about God and what the Lord is doing. This morning I want to share just a few verses of scripture. Well, in actual fact, I'm going to share 31 verses of scripture with you. they are verses that I shared this week with our staff and with our pastors, and I believe it's a word that's for more than just our leaders, but also a word for all of us. So if you have your Bibles here, otherwise you can follow on the screen. I'm going to read for us from Isaiah 40. And Johan, welkom terug. Johan en Natasha, it's lekker om julle te sien. Ons het 'n bietjie gaan plak daar, Johan, hulle sê hierdie week. Baie dankie julle. And there's a scripture that says we've got no permanent abode here. Nee, ons het hier geen, hoe gaan hy Afrikaanse vers dan weer pa? Ons het hier geen permanent blywende stad nie. Nee, we're passing through. And the title is a feel a little bit like that this week. We're passing through. We're on our way to the house that we're going to stay in. We're on our way. We're getting there. And I'm going to share these verses with you, and I'm going to read all of them to you, and some of the verses out of this chapter will leap out and will grab your heart. Okay, some of them will be relevant to where you are right now, and some of them, the Holy Spirit will drop into your spirit for a later stage. And I just want to give you some context to this chapter and where the Lord started to deal with me concerning Isaiah 40. And that was many years ago when I was a student. My first small group, we called them cell groups back then, in Shofar, was a cell group that was being held in Goldfields. And Goldfields is one of the hostels in Stellenbosch. And in 1994, Goldfields looked a little bit different than what it looks like today. Today, It's a fully integrated multiracial hostel. Back then, it was the hostel that was designated for the colored and black students. And so Goldfields, unfortunately, it was still in the developmental stages back then. And so that's a bit in the kortste spien getrek of gesuig. What? Hoe gaan die? Suig of trek? What? Achterste spien. Achterste spien gesuig. Getrek. What? Aris, help me. Achterste spien gesuig. You know what I mean, all right? It had the shorter end of the stick. in the sense that I remember there were just so many things that weren't in place there. And it was, this is the sense of alienation attached to that hostel back then. The guys who studied there were a lot of challenges. And I remember just going to that small group, and it was wonderful times. It was during that cell group that I was discipled there in an amazing way by an amazing cell leader, Brian van Wyk, a true spiritual dad in a certain sense to me, just taught me so many things about prayer and intercession and praise and worship. It was there that I discovered just the power of prayer. And we would pray, and then we would pray, and then we would pray, and we would pray some more, and really just understood the power of the word. And during those years, it was as if the Lord came and he drilled a shaft down deep into my heart, and he deposited some words there. And I want to encourage some of you that maybe you're single, or you're studying, or you have a lot of time at your disposal. Use the time that you have right now to allow the word of God to sink deep into your heart. Because there's going to come a time when you will need to draw from those reserves. There's going to come a time when you're faced with challenges and with seasons in your life that word would have prepared you for. And allow that word to sink down deep. And I remember the times of just not being able to go away, weekends, and the times of even exam times, which were very desperate times, and then you would go to the word. It will always be a struggle. You know, do I read the word now or do I study? You know, maybe if I read the word more, it will go better with my studies. And, you know, I know none of you ever had the conflict, but, you know, sometimes I had that conflict. But it was amazing to just be in a place where you could spend time with God and just read the word and read the word and read the word. And during that year, God, over and over and over again, would take me to Isaiah 40 and to those first two verses. And he would speak to me about that, and I would pray that word, and I would pray it over Goldfields. I would pray it over the community of guys who came there. I would pray it over the chaos, because there was still a lot of racial tension back then. There was a lot of poverty, and there were a lot of things that were not in place, a lot of bitterness. There was a lot of just stuff, relational stuff that was happening then, and so much confusion and conflict even back then. And I would pray this, and I would speak this, and I would often even cry this over Goldfields, over our small group. And it was amazing to see over the years how Goldfields has changed and how it became a truly multiracial hostel, and the facilities improved, and it was just completely different. And it was amazing for me to understand the privilege God gives us to be part of his process of restoration, to be able to see things even before those things start happening. That God gives us as his people that privilege to hear things, to see things, and then to speak things even before they start manifesting. And what I began to realize these last few weeks was so much of that word was a word that God had placed in my heart even for this season that we are in right now. And I want to just speak about these verses with you this morning. But the context scripturally is that Isaiah 40 is such a radical departure from Isaiah chapters 1 to 39, that many biblical scholars actually think that somebody else wrote Isaiah 40. Because Isaiah chapter 1 to 39 deals a lot with judgment. It deals with the judgment towards Israel and Judah and its enemies. So there are a lot of prophecies of judgment spoken against the nations and against Israel because of its idolatry, because of the way it treated God and the way it treated its prophets. And so in a certain way, it's quite... it's forceful. It's black and white. There's some judgment spoken over the people. And verse 39 of Isaiah is a very sad book. Many of you will know the story of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was an amazing king, and he saw incredible miracles. Okay, Hezekiah was the guy who was surrounded by the Assyrians at one stage of his life. The city of Jerusalem, surrounded by the Assyrians. And the Assyrians came to Hezekiah, and they gave him a letter, and they told him, There is no way that this city will be different to any of the other cities that we have conquered. We're the most powerful Asian empire, and Jerusalem will fall. Don't think that your God can rescue you. Your God is just like all the other pagan gods, who is incapable of rescuing you out of our hands. And Hezekiah took that letter, and he took that letter to God, and he said, God, look at this. Look at what your enemies are saying. You have to intervene. And so God intervened, and God rescued them in a powerful way. He sent this angel into the midst of the Assyrian camp. And the next day when Hezekiah woke up, and all his men woke up, there were, I think, 120,000 Assyrian soldiers dead, slaughtered in their sleep by the angel of God. Now, that's a massive miracle. I don't know about you, but that's pretty. That's amazing. You know, God supernaturally came and rescued them. And he told Hezekiah, not one arrow will be shot into the city. You will be safe. The king went back home, and he was eventually assassinated, I think, by his sons. But Jerusalem stood. Towards the end of his life, Hezekiah fell ill. He almost died. And then he prayed to God and says, God, please save me, heal me. And God added 14 years to his life. So he lived 14 years longer than what he should have lived. So he has this massive testimony in his life of seeing God's hand. You know, your business should have gone under, and God comes through and he delivers you. And he prospers that business. Your marriage should have fallen apart, but God comes and he saves your marriage. You know, or your marriage fell apart and you shouldn't have hope for the future, but God comes and restores your heart. He comes and does something in you that only he can do, and you know it's a miracle. He saves you, he heals you, restores you, he gives you the breakthrough in that exam. He comes and he does something miraculous. Hezekiah comes and he does something that you aren't touched on. He starts to believe that the treasures in his kingdom is actually his treasures. He starts to believe that what he has is actually his. And so he makes this fatal mistake. The Babylonians send an envoy to him to wish him well, to say, we're so glad that you recover, that you are healthy. Then what Hezekiah does is he takes that Babylonian envoy into his treasure chamber. He walks with him and he says, look at all of my treasures. Look at all of my treasures. And Babylon at that stage wasn't a massive empire yet. They were just beginning to grow. A few decades later, the Babylonians come and they capture Judah. They burn Jerusalem down to the ground because they saw the treasures there. He stirred greed in their heart. He thought that what he had was his. And so, let me just, before we get to chapter 40, I want to give you this context. Isaiah 39 verse 3, it's not up there, but let me read it for you. Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah. This was after he had taken the Babylonians into his storehouse. And he says to him, what did these men say and from where did they come to you? And so Hezekiah said, they came to me from a far country, from Babylon. You know, they're very far away. They're no threat to us at all. And he said, what have they seen in your house? And so Hezekiah answered, they have seen all that is in my house. There's nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. And so he opens up. He exposes what he should not have exposed. He takes secret things, intimate things, beautiful things, precious things, and he exposes that to the enemy because he started to rely upon himself. Okay, and Isaiah comes to Hezekiah and he says, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon and nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you. And this actually happened to his, I think it was his great-grandchildren. They shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. And so Hezekiah said to Isaiah, look at this. The prophet comes and the prophet says, Hezekiah, you have made a terrible mistake. You've sinned. You were arrogant. You were proud. And because of your arrogance, the kingdom will be stripped away from you. Because of your arrogance, your lineage will fall into bondage. Oppression will come upon them. Hezekiah says to Isaiah, verse 8, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. He says, I hear what God is saying. And that's good. I accept that. For, he said, okay, so that's what he says publicly. That's what he says to Isaiah. I accept that word. But look what he said in his heart first. He said, for, he said, at least there will be peace and truth in my days. He says, this calamity, this sadness, it will come upon my generations. But at least in my day, I will have peace. So what does he do? He does not contend for the generation. He doesn't even say to God, God, what can I do to fix this? Because he's saying, at least I'm okay. At least my kingdom is going to be fine. And so he lives with a very short and a myopic worldview. At least I'm going to continue to survive. My kingdom will be okay. He lives only for his generation. And he leaves behind a blessing to his son of a physical kingdom. But you know what? His son turned out to be Manasseh. One of the most, well, in actual fact, scripture says the most evil king that ever lived. And I thought, how could a guy who saw God smite 120,000 Assyrians, who saw God's hand, who saw the miracles of God, whose life was extended by 14 years, how could he raise a guy who was so evil? A man who caused one of his own sons to be sacrificed to the pagan god Molech. How could that happen? And I believe part of the reason for that was because Hezekiah did not have a heart for the next generation. He never made sure that Manasseh heard about the testimony. He never made sure that Manasseh heard that we were in trouble one day and then I cried out to God and God came through. He never made sure that Manasseh heard and knew his lineage. You come from a line of kings who have been called by God and you've got a responsibility to live for the glory of God. And so God comes and God says, there's going to come a time when this will end. And so Manasseh begets another son and they're all evil and God comes and he brings judgment. And so it's within this context of selfishness and of judgment that God brings this word. And I want to speak to our dads for a moment. All of us, as we're standing here, as we're sitting here, we know that we are not here in isolation. We know that I am where I am today because of choices that I've made. But I also know that I am where I am because somebody else has made certain choices on my behalf. Amen? Hercules right now is making choices on behalf of his kids, of his family. And one day he will give an account to God for the choice that he made. Same as my dad who made certain choices as to where to go and where to follow God. And I'm thankful that I could grow up in an environment where obedience to God was the barometer. Obedience to God was the driving factor behind why we are making certain decisions and why we're making certain choices and why we live where we live. Why we do certain things based upon what is God saying to us. And I believe that God is wanting us as men, as dads, to once again to think about what are the words that have brought you to this place. Last week, Richard shared with us about the power of that song, of just sharing our testimony. But I believe the first place that we've got to understand that fathers that God is calling us to account to, the first place that song needs to be sung, the first place that testimony needs to be shared is at home. Our children need to know that there was a moment when we didn't know which way to go and we fasted and we prayed and God came through for us. There was a moment when we couldn't have the breakthrough and we prayed and God came through for us. There's a moment when we were confused, we prayed, and God came through for us. Or there was a moment when I made a mistake, I did something I shouldn't have done, and God forgave me, and He came through for me. Our children need to know that. Our children need to see that. And we can be like Hezekiah, who imparts a physical legacy. He left behind a physical Jerusalem with physical walls and with treasures. Successful, amen? Look at all the treasures that he left Manasseh. Amazing treasures, incredible wealth. And yet he left him spiritually poor. He left him without a root. He left him without a frame of reference. He never taught him how to make godly decisions. He never taught him how to deal with your own failures and your own mistakes. Never taught him how to deal with your own sins. What do you do when you fail? Amen. What do you do when you fail? Do we demonstrate that to our kids? This week, I had an amazing encounter with the Holy Spirit in a public setting. I was chatting to our leaders, and there was a moment just when the Holy Spirit came over me, and I was so overcome just by His compassion and by even the pain that I registered. And I wanted to be in control, and I wanted to just bring the word the way that I felt I needed to bring it. And God brought me to a standstill, and He said, you now need to be vulnerable in front of those around you. They need to see and they need to understand that God is greater than your limits. He's greater than you not having the answers. He's greater than you not seeing the way forward. And one of the greatest dangers for us is our need to be in control. Dads, I believe God is wanting to encourage us to let go. Right? Let go before our kids. Let go before our wives. Open up. Be vulnerable. Because what Manasseh needed was not the king. He needed the dad. He needed the dad to be real. He needed the dad to teach him the ways of the Spirit. And so this word, let me just read it for you. It comes to the prophet Isaiah, and God comes to him, and God says, speaks to him this word. And this word would sort of catapult the Israelites 100 years into the future and would find its fulfillment after the Israelites had been taken into captivity. Okay, so they're not even in captivity yet, and God gives them this word. Guys, there's a prophetic edge, I believe, with all of my heart, that God is wanting to release over us again, fathers. Where God right now is wanting to drop words into our spirits, even as you are sitting in this room, even as you go into small group, and as you go to Bible school, and as you wrestle with the word at home, words that right now is going to shape you and prepare you for what's going to happen 15 years down the line. Words are going to live in your heart that you will need to pray over your grandchildren one day. Words that go beyond your own life. But you've got to lay hold of those words. You've got to say, God, I want the word to live in me. I want the word to become flesh in me. And so God comes to Isaiah and he says to Isaiah, Isaiah, speak this over my people. There's going to come a day, one day, when they will be held in bondage and in captivity. That day isn't there yet, but I want you to speak this already. I want you to declare this already. And he says, comfort. And the word comfort literally means speak to the heart of the person. Speak to the heart. Don't speak to the brain. Don't speak to the physical things you see around you. Speak to the heart. Dads, this is God's call upon our lives. Speak to the heart of your children. Get to know their hearts. Speak to the heart of your wife. I was on the plane to Singapore and reading the word for long flight up there. And then I got stuck in Peter where Peter says to husbands, husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding. I sort of just wanted, I was on my way to another portion of scripture. Then I got stuck on that one. Dwell with them with understanding. I'm like, Jesus, that's, you know, you're asking something of the impossible here. It says, dwell with them with understanding. And you cannot dwell with someone. And I understood, you know, the Lord says, I think you at times understand your phone better than you understand your wife. And why is that? Because you are dwelling with your phone. You are dwelling with it. You're spending time with it. You're getting into it. Dwell with your wife with understanding. Get to the place where you can speak to her heart. So you've got to study it. You've got to ask the question. You've got to read the manual. You've got to Google it. You've got to get into it. You've got to dwell with her with understanding. And there's nothing haphazard about that. There's nothing coincidental about that. You've got to be purposeful about it. You've got to be focused about it. So I'm going to dwell with you with understanding. I'm going to speak a word. And I believe this is God's call for us as the body of Christ. God wants us to be able to speak a word, not just to the emotions, not just to the intellect of South Africa and those around us. He wants us to speak a word to the heart. To the heart. To the heart of people around us. And this was the word that God, I believe, is wanting us to make our own. And is wanting us to hear first. Before you can speak the word, you need to hear the word. You need to hear the word. You need to have that word sink into your heart. And it says, comfort. Yes, comfort my people. I was encouraged by the fact that God says, they are my people. They are my people. South Africa, it's His. Amen. This nation of ours doesn't belong to the politicians, doesn't belong to the dogs, doesn't belong to whoever else gives us a rating system or whatever. It belongs to God. This nation, it's God's. Hercules and them are going to the UK. Why? Because they believe the UK belongs to God. They are His nations. And so unless we understand that the nations and my company and my school and my children belong to God, we will never take seriously the word of God. But if we understand that they belong to God, they are His, then He has the word for them. Then it's not my word that makes the difference. It is God's word. And I believe that around us are people longing, pining, yearning for that word. And those people are very often living in the room next to our room at home. Maybe sitting in the cubicle next to us at work. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God, and speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended and that her iniquity is pardoned. I'll just park on this verse a little bit and then I'll read the rest. Because you're getting worried, you're thinking, yes, like it. He said 39 verses, it's only on the first one. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her. I believe that there's a voice, and I just felt in my heart that God is wanting me to speak to the dad. So ladies, forgive me for a few minutes. But there's a voice inside of us that our children and our spouses and our community need to hear. A voice inside of us that connects with the grace and the mercy of God. A comfort that we as men need. And because we haven't opened up our hearts to His comfort, we are incapable of giving comfort to those around us. And that comfort comes to us into a performance culture. It comes to us into a masculinity that has been defined for us by the world that says, be in control, work harder. If you provide and if you leave behind something in the natural, then you're successful. And those things are important. They are crucially important. God wants us to make sure our children are taken care of. But there's a voice that goes beyond the money that we give them. There's a voice that goes beyond the trust fund we leave them. There's a voice that goes beyond the connections that we establish for them in the natural. And it's a voice that needs to go to their heart. But it is impossible for us to connect with their hearts unless we have allowed our hearts to be touched by the voice of God. And so God comes and He speaks this to a rebellious people. He speaks this to a proud people. He speaks this to a people who have made so many mistakes. So many mistakes. And I chatted to our staff about this and I said, we have all made mistakes. We have all done things we should not have done. We all have not done things we should have done. We all have said things we should not have said. And we all have not said things that we should have said. All of us have made mistakes. And the devil comes as what? He comes as the accuser of the brethren. His assignment is not to speak comfort to us. His assignment is to speak condemnation to us and pressure to us and striving to us. And it keeps us in the place of feeling guilty and ashamed and then pushing us to work harder. Spend more hours at work. Spend more hours on the phone. Spend more hours on the internet building up walls and putting on masks so that we don't have to face our own hearts. And the comfort that we need as a church and as a nation is this, that God has pardoned our iniquity. It says that this verse says that God, it says that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Double for all of her sins. And for them in that context, you speak about the fact that they were taken captive. They were in Babylon. They were punished. But Isaiah goes on to say that was not actually the punishment he was talking about. The punishment that was put upon Jesus Christ is the reason why comfort can be in our hearts. The reason why we can have hope and confidence that our lives have a hope in the future. It's not because I'm going to turn over a new leaf as a dad. It's not because this Father Day is going to inspire me to be a better man. No. My confidence is that the punishment that should have been mine because of my mistakes, because of my failures and my weaknesses, that punishment was put upon Christ. And everything was put upon Christ. And unless we allow that reality to sink into our hearts, we will consistently shy away from intimacy with our kids and with our spouses. Because you know what intimacy requires? Intimacy requires vulnerability. It requires vulnerability. And that's why marriage is such a beautifully challenging thing. Because it pushes you beyond the pretense, doesn't it? It pushes you to get to know someone who gets to know you in your weakest. And my wife knows me in ways that none of you ever will. And she has the capacity to come alongside me, to cover me in my weaknesses, as have I for her. And God wants to bless us as men, as dads, as fathers, as husbands, with a fearlessness that will not shy away from intimacy, will not shy away from becoming vulnerable. Will not shy away from saying to our wives, look, baby, I'm struggling. I don't have the answers. Help me. Pray with me. They will say to our kids, I'm standing in faith that things will work out. I'm praying. And this is what I'm praying for you for. lay hands on them, even when we feel weak. But our hope and our confidence cannot be in what I achieved in my business, cannot be how I feel about myself as a leader, cannot be about anything in the natural. It has to be, my comfort has to be that someone else was bruised, chastised, broken. Bible says that God poured out all of his wrath upon Christ, bruised him, broke him, rejected him, cast him out of his presence, turned his back on his own son. Why? So that I don't have to bear my own guilt and my own shame. So I don't have to run to other things to find comfort. So I don't have to run to the bottle or to the gambling or to the porn or to the drugs or to any of those things to find my comfort. I can find my comfort in the forgiveness of Christ. I can base my identity, my strength, my courage to engage with my wife, to engage with my kids around my vulnerability in Christ. And he's enough for me. He's my comfort. And so I believe that for us as a church and as a church movement, the Lord is saying our comfort, our confidence, our boldness does not lie in anything else except in what Jesus has done for us on the cross. He's enough for us, saints. He's enough for you in your family. He's enough for you in this nation. He's enough for you in your studies. He's enough for you wherever you go. He is enough. He's enough. It's enough to comfort your heart. It's enough to give you boldness to try again, to say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I forgive you. Why can we do that? Because we try hard and know, because that's the forgiveness that's been given to us. That's the comfort God has given us. Verse 3 says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make straight in the desert the highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And parents, I believe that God has called us to prepare the way for our children. So the Lord is challenging me. Am I preparing the way for my children to connect with God? Am I preparing the way for them? Am I filling up the valleys for them? Am I leveling the mountains for them? Do they see me praying for their mom, for them? Do they see me worshiping at home? Do they see me saying I'm sorry to my wife? Saying please, do they see that modeled? Or am I abdicating that to Sunday school? Am I leaving that to the school? Am I leaving that to other people to do? Or am I preparing the way for them? Am I preparing the way for them? And I believe God wants to come and empower us to do so. But in my heart of hearts, I felt that some of us, we have difficulty preparing the way because we don't know the way. We don't know how to be comforted by God when we have failed. We don't know how to be comforted by God when we are at our weakest. And we run away from those moments. And we frustrate our kids and we frustrate our wives. And the Lord this morning is wanting to extend grace to us to be comforted by him. Just to be comforted. I spoke to a brother, a friend of mine, who was my brother in the Lord this week, whose parents are going through a divorce. I never knew it. And it's been going on for a while. I said, why didn't you tell me? No, because we were this awesome family and I felt so ashamed. So I now feel like a failure. And I could just be there with him. I said, no, man. This is the time when we need each other. Their failure isn't your failure. You don't have to carry the shame. Says, I feel ashamed to be in church. It feels as if I have failed. He's an adult, grown up man. My folks' marriage feels like it's my failure. God wants to come and says, no, it's not. And even their failure, provision has been made on the cross of Jesus Christ. You don't have to carry that with you. So my question to you this morning, what is causing you discomfort? What is causing you to shy away from? And how do you know that you're in discomfort? You're in discomfort when you shy away from the intimacy. And for us as guys, I want to encourage us. Our wives know us better than what we know ourselves. So if you want to know whether you're truly intimate with them and whether you are truly vulnerable with them, don't take your own answer to that question. Don't believe yourself. Take the risk and ask them. Ask them. Maybe am I vulnerable? Do I let you in Do you feel that I let you in? Dis natuurlik 'n gevaarlike vraag, nê. Voel jy? Voel jy? Like, joh, dat is voor goed wat uit daai een vraag kan kom. But if we want to have a word that goes beyond our own lives, if we want to leave behind a legacy, then we've got to be brave enough to ask the question. Ask the question. Do it within the fact. Doesn't matter what comes out of that answer. God has made provision for your weakness. Because we don't want to ask the question because we fear we will be accused. We'll be condemned. God is my provision. Like he's taken your weakness upon himself. Let me continue to read for us. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. The cars go away, the houses get sold. Somebody else lives in it. Or everything else changes. Because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Do you have something that you can connect your kids with that will stand forever? Hercules and I spoke about it, that a nation like the UK now even, being shaken, understanding that even everything they've built, it can fade away in a moment. It can be blown up, or it can burn down in a moment. And it's a challenging time, but it's a wonderful time because there is truly only one thing that remains, that is the word of God. The word that he speaks over you. It says, I've taken your punishment upon myself. You don't have to work yourself out of it. You don't have to deny yourself out of it. You don't have to lust yourself out of it. You can come to me. I've taken the punishment. It says, oh Zion, that's us, all right, his people. You bring good tidings. That's the good news we bring. God is the comforter. Get up into the high mountain. He says, be visible again. Go back home. Speak it over your children again. Speak it over your business again. Oh, Jerusalem, here you bring good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, men. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. If you have only one thing in your life that you know that was God, lift up your voice. Speak about it at home. Go to your children. Say, when I was 14 years old, I had a dream and one day I would do what I'm doing now and God came through for me. Let them know it's not you. Let them know it's not you and your own hard work. It's God who did it. Give them an anchor beyond human strength. Give them an anchor in God's provision and God's power. Anchor them in the word. I was a petrified young boy. I used to bite my nails, nema, voor ek skool toe gegaan het, sabeer, en staan het een. Ek wou nooit voor niemand gepraat. Didn't want to speak in front of anybody at school. That introvert is still inside of me. You just don't see it often. But he's there. And I was petrified. And year after year, my dad would lay hands on me in the morning. And would say, maar God het jou nie gegee geest van vreesachtigheid nie. Van kracht en liefde en selfbeheersing. And then I would bite my nails again. And he would pray again. And he would pray again. And he would pray again. Until that word became a reality. And it's still the word I fall back on when I have to speak in front of people and my stomach goes, not because of hunger, but because of nerves. It's what I need to fall back on, God. That the thing is with me. It's what I constantly need to conquer. God, will I be good enough? Will they accept it? Will they receive it? How will I sound? I constantly need to conquer then. I fall back then. Not on my eloquence and not on anything else except that word. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And my dad drilled it into my heart, prayed it into my heart. When I was sub B and standard one and standard two, in the matric still, I didn't speak a word in class. But when the moment came and I needed to, that word lives through me. Are you giving your kids something eternal? It will not happen haphazardly. You've got to be focused about it. You've got to be diligent about it. You've got to say, the word of God is my greatest treasure. It's my greatest treasure that I can leave with my kids. Everything else fades away like grass. Behold, the Lord shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Oumas en oupas, die Here sê, hy weet om te kyk na julle kinders en julle kleinkinders. He knows how to lead those who are with young. who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, who has weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counsel has taught him. With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket, and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beasts sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. To whom then will you liken God, this God that comforts you? Or what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image, the goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot, and he seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning, and have you not understood? From the foundations of the earth, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are all like grasshoppers. That's everyone in every nation, rich or poor, doesn't matter who. Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing, and he makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted, scarcely shall they be sown, scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth, when he will also blow on them and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. That boss or that politician, whoever it is that's intimidating you or thinks that he can control you, the Bible says there will come a day when he will be gone. There will be nothing left, but God will remain. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number and calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord and my just claim is passed over by my God? Why do you say God has forgotten about you? Why do you say God doesn't understand? Why do you say that he doesn't know what it feels like to be Afrikaans and white in South Africa, or to be black and whatever in South Africa, or to be poor, or to be wealthy? Why do you say that God doesn't know, that he doesn't understand? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable, and he gives power to the weak. Band, if you guys can come. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I believe that God this morning wants to reassure. And Father's Day is a wonderful day. It's an exciting day. But for many dads, it's an intimidating day, because it's a day when we are reminded of how important it is to be a dad. It's a day that we are reminded of how much hinges upon us. And it's a day that we understand we fall very far short of that. But it is a day where God wants to come and encourage us, and he wants to say to us that he is the ultimate dad. And he wants to comfort you. And he wants to release over you, men, an ability to cover and to nurture. There are two groups of people this morning that I want to pray for. And the first, those of us as guys, and we know that there's inside of us, there's a comfort. We know what God has called us for. We know he has called us to comfort our wives. We know he has called us to comfort our children. We know that he has called us to connect with their hearts. But if we are honest, we must admit that it is easier for us to connect with our colleagues at work. It's easy to connect with that email. It's easy to connect with that new job project. It's easier to connect with something that will never get close to you than it is to connect with those who will get to know you like no one else will. And God wants to call you to a place where you walk away from the condemnation, walk away from the hiding, walk away from the shame, and just receive his comfort. Say, Dad, for jou met al jou foute. Maak nie saak of jou kind 6 maande oud is, of 16 jaar, of 36 jaar, of dalk al 60 jaar oud is. Met al jou foute. God is the one that wants to comfort you. God is the one that wants you to know that He is proud of you. Wants you to know that you are the one that He has created and He has trusted to be the dad, to be the husband, to be the grandfather. And He wants to comfort you with His forgiveness. Some of us carrying stuff, carrying regret inside of us. Dinge wat ons gedoen het, wat ons nie moes doen nie. En dit knaag hier binne aan jou. Jy wil nie met jou vrou daaroor praat, you can't look her in the eye. And so you're restless around the table and you're busy. You can't settle down. And God is wanting to say, come receive my comfort. Let me pour out my comfort upon you. And in that comfort, you will be able. And He will teach you what it means. Yesterday I was at somebody's house. We were watching the rugby. Praise God. It's a good thing being a Springbok supporter again. But we were there and they were just sharing with me about how this young coach has come alongside the little boy who's letting the player rugby. And he's allowing them to have fun. And whereas his previous coach was just like, no, don't laugh. Hier is ernstige dinge. And they're 4 or 5 years old. Why? Because that's the way he was coached. And we struggle to comfort because we've never been comforted. And we look for people around us. And God says, I want to be your comforter. I want to pour myself out upon you. So can we stand? So I want to pray for some men in this room. So as we have our eyes closed, Father, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that on a day like this, that you call us not to do more things, God, not to evaluate ourselves and to look at all the Father's Day cards and all the things people say about who fathers need to be. And we know, God, often when we receive those gifts from our wives or from our kids, Lord, we even sometimes struggle to receive them because we know we fall short of the expectations. But Father, thank you, God, that this morning we can receive comfort from you, the Father of all fathers. And God, that you knew when you called us about our weaknesses, and you knew, God, about our brokenness. And that you are here to just pour out your comfort upon us, your forgiveness over us, your acceptance over us. So I pray for my brothers in this room. If that is you, and you feel either between you and your wife, or maybe you and your kids, that there's a disconnect, maybe even sometimes with yourself, or bring it closer to home with your own dad, there's just a disconnect. You can't remember the last time you shed a tear together, the last time you shared an emotion together that wasn't anger. The last time you opened up towards your father, or he towards you, or you towards your children. Or the last time you had a vulnerable moment with your wife, and you could comfort her, or you could allow her to comfort you. Then I want you just there where you're standing. I don't want to embarrass you guys. I want to ask you to just raise your hand as our eyes are closed. Just raise your right hand. So I want to pray with you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the courage in this room, Lord. Thank you for the courage in this room. Thank you for the courage. I just sense that as you're reaching out your hand, that God has already reached out His hand towards you. You don't have to be afraid that you will reach it out in darkness. God is reaching out to you. Father, ek dank u vir die mans in hierdie vertrek, Here, wat dapper genoeg is vanoggend om te sê, God, I need your comfort. That little boy inside of me, God, that never received the healing from his rejection. The words that said, you are not good enough. That little boy struggles to connect with his wife, struggles to connect with his children. Finds it easier to be at work. But thank you that there's healing for him. Thank you that there's healing, Lord God, for the masculine heart in this room. That your comfort that you want to pour out through us, Lord, is the comfort that right now, Holy Spirit, you are pouring out upon us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are breaking the outer shell. Thank you that you are bringing back to us, Lord God, accountability where we are vulnerable with other brothers, willing to open up. willing to say, pray for me. I'm struggling. I'm not coping. I want to be a better dad. I want to be pure. I want to be holy, but I'm losing the battle against the internet. Pray with me. Stand with me. I feel so ashamed. Just pray with me. Father, thank you, Lord God, for your forgiveness, Lord, in this room. Thank you for your affirmation in this room, Father, over us as men, over us as dads. I even speak, God, just over the young men who will one day become dads. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, for just drawing them to you to wait on you, God, for their strength. To find their strength in you and not in anything else. Thank you, Father. And then, Lord, I pray for the feminine hearts in this room. And the hearts of the children, Father. Those who were in moments when they needed comfort and dad was too busy. Or dad was gone on another trip. Or dad was just permanently gone. I pray for those, Lord, who wanted to receive comfort and came to church for comfort and yet just received legalism or received more works. Father, I pray for vulnerability to open up again. To open up not to a man, but to open up to you. To receive your comfort, your assurance. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. And Father, thank you for the power of perspective. That we will look at our own dads, Lord, through your eyes. You'll give us the grace to forgive where we need to forgive. Give us the grace to make right where we need to make right. We honor you and we thank you for spiritual fathers you've given us as well. You've been faithful, God, to give us the word. In Jesus' name, we receive from you, God, your comfort and the renewal of our strength. The Lord just showed me this picture of an eagle that is hovering over its little ones, but there's this massive mountain winds that have blown. This one wing almost has twisted. The wind was so strong that this one wing of the eagle just hangs loosely. The Lord said, some of us in this room, we know we've been called to be protectors, but we've been tossed by the winds just our fears and so much disappointment. We feel that we've actually exposed our families and we've exposed some treasures. And we don't know how to protect them again. And God says, if you would wait on him, if you would receive, if you would open up, if you would say, Father, I need you. That's all that he needs. He will come and he will strengthen. He will come and he will restore. And he will teach you what it means again to cover, but to do it as you are covered. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. If you're in this room this morning and you need prayer, I want to ask you that you would come to the front. We're going to pray with you. Spend some time just ministering to you. If there's something in your heart this morning the Lord has stirred, make use of this opportunity just to open up to someone, maybe to someone next to you. Say, just please pray with me. I'm struggling in this area. I need a breakthrough. Don't just want to agree with me. And I'm sure that they will pray with you. And bless your mom. Bless your dad today. Phone your dad. If you haven't seen him in a while, send him the message. Love on them. Enjoy your Father's Day. We've got some refreshments in the foyer. We're going to spend some time just fellowshipping together. We're going to spend some time praying for people. So if you want to fellowship, please fellowship in the foyer. The band is going to play softly for us. And you can join them in the song if you still want to linger in the Lord's presence. Lord bless you. Have an amazing Sunday. Thank you for your patience. I know it's been a busy morning. Have a wonderful day. And go in the comfort of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.